The one guarantee about this generation's Toronto Maple Leafs is, even through their best intentions, a gutsy effort to come back and force overtime in Game 7, they find a way to lose in the most painful, excruciating way possible.
It's crazy to think it's taken that long, all of 8 years, for them to wake up and say, oh, this is how you got to get it done in the playoffs.
I think Leaf fans are numb to this now, quite frankly, and I think that's the worst indictment you could possibly give.
But the majority of that blame goes to the core of the hockey club, and that's where I think Brad Treliving is really going to put his stamp. So I do expect either Marner or Tavares to at least be approached.
But right now, going forward, it's 34's team. Like, something needs to change internally, and maybe
you're saying take the C away from John Tavares, whether
it's his team, and it always has been his team.
But in pro sports, a decade is an eternity, and the brass tacks are, you've won one round. And I would assume if Shanahan stays, I'm not convinced there will be that much change. I'm not convinced he sees it as something that needs to happen, because he's never seen that in the past.
Some piping hot takes Saturday night following the Leafs 2-1 OT loss to the Boston Bruins. Welcome back to First Up. It's hour four of the program. Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Colaiacovo. The phone lines are absolutely jammed. So much so, we're going to skip the introduction of Wake Up Woodbridge and just get down to business. Because Maple Leaf fans deserve to have their voice heard, and that's what this forum is for. It is Wake Up Woodbridge, and we'll begin with Jack in Uxbridge. Jack, good morning. Take the floor. Yours. Go ahead.
It's not a good morning. What are you talking about? Good morning. Come on. I'm losing it. I'm thinking about what I'm going to say today on this closing of Wake Up Woodbridge. And I'm in awe. I'm disgusted. As you guys know, I've said it many times. This is not a team. And they need to break up this core 100%. You guys talked about it all morning. Everybody's talking about it. This is not a team, and they lost to a team that was far worse than them on paper, on the ice, whatever. We can go through that. At the end of the day, you know, I'm looking at this as a fan. I'm a customer. I got the drizzle of some peppercorn sauce all over the crest of my jersey, eating a nice steak in the hot stove lounge, bringing people down to the game, thinking this is the year, and guess what happens? Bang! It's not the year. It's not the year again. And it's, how many years have I been doing this? And we've been doing this as Leaf fans. This is it's a disgrace. And they've got to take this and make it a team, not about a bunch of individuals reaching milestones and everybody's excited, sure. But we're all sick of the losing. And this is losing, not winning. And I'm at awe. I don't know even what to say, guys. I had a great year talking to you guys from time to time, as we always do. I really appreciate the time. But next year, let's get on a winning note. Let's talk about some positive.
Next year's our year.
All the negative.
Next year.
Year's our year.
Yeah. Thank you, Jack. Yeah. You're a good man.
What he said there, like, definitely hits a nerve. Where he said, you know, this type of losing sucks, and there has to be an understanding in sports that losing does happen. You know. Not every team wins every year. But for this fan base to suffer the losing in the same way again, this is what has to be the tipping point. Like, it's got to stop. Losing the same way year after year when you lose, minus last year when it got to the second round where it was a five-game series with Florida. But every other year in the first round, when they've lost, it's been the exact same way. And that's what people are sick of, man. I totally understand it. Everybody in that organization has to be sick of it. I just don't know what changes from it.
Mark in Toronto, you're on Wake Up Woodbridge.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan, and I appreciate it. A couple of points. I've said this for a while now. Everything starts at the top. Brendan Shanahan. He's the president. The Leafs hired him when he was in charge of discipline with the NHL. No experience, no nothing. They've given the key to run this team for 10 years, and it's completely disfragmented. He's got 80% of his budget to the forwards, none of it to the defense. Every NHL team needs Norris-caliber defensemen to win. Last year, there was Theodore and Petrangelo on Florida, and Theodore on Florida. When will the Leafs ever learn you need Norris-caliber defensemen? We haven't had one since 1974. Get on with it already.
Thank you for the call, Mark. So I think it's a fair point, but at the same time, I don't think the Leafs' problem this series was their defense.
It wasn't, but
they're not generating any offense. I get that. Benoit, McCabe, Edmondson, Labushkin, they all kind of have the same offensive capabilities. Like, there's not a lot there. Riley's their only real offensively geared guy, and I do think that needs to change. Like, they need to find a way to generate more puck movement and more offense from their back end. I was watching the Carolina-New York game yesterday. Those defensemen are flying all over the ice on both teams, whether it be Brent Burns or Adam Fox or Trouba or Orlov. I mean, there's a lot of studs on both decors there with New York and Carolina. But, yeah, the Leafs D, I think, could use an improvement. Now, it's easier said than done. Go out and find a Norris Trophy-winning defense. We need to draft and develop that. Look at all those studs on all those teams. They're all drafted and developed. It's very rare that's not the case.
But, Iggy, this is an organizational flaw. Okay, since Morgan Riley, this team has not drafted or developed a top four defenseman. And that's sort of something I've been, the tree that I've been barking, you know, up the last couple of years, where it's like, you see all these other teams, you know, drafting and developing defensemen, and then when they need to find a guy, it's always somebody coming up through their system. The Maple Leafs have to start taking that approach here, and you would have thought with the way they've built their team around the core four forwards, that would have been a draft strategy, saying, okay, well, if we're gonna commit to this group of forwards, well, we've got to do a better job drafting and developing cheap defensemen that can come in and be NHL players. They haven't done that, and that's why every year they're trading assets to try to go guys that end up walking for nothing.
I guess Petrangelo is really the exception to that rule, and he was considering Toronto. I don't know how that all played out. You would definitely know better than I, but Petrangelo is the number one defenseman. You look at Carolina with their guy Slavin.
They messed up on
Fox.
That one.
Yeah, Colorado with Makar, Dallas with Heiskanen. Consider Boston with McAvoy. I mean, it's not a coincidence. Tampa with Hedman. This is how you win. You need that cornerstone. And Morgan Riley was that last year in the playoffs. He was awesome for the Leafs, but this year he was not. All right, I see he's on the list here. Frank and Markham, it's yours, buddy. Go ahead.
What a letdown, boys. What a letdown.
That's it? That's all you're bringing this morning?
You know what, Carlo? When that Pastrnak goal in overtime, it just sucked everything out of me, everyone at the house, everybody. It was like, are you serious? This is how we're going to lose? This is another way that we lost again? It was just like so much sadness to immediate emotional hatred. And it's like, come on. Enough's enough now. We got it. You guys have been like, I've been trying to catch segments as much as I can today. It's been, something needs to change. AK, I call you earlier talking about Tavares and how unlikely it is to move. You got to make it happen. He has $11 million cap hit, but after the signing bonus on July 1, his salary is $3 million. You can find, you got to pressure these guys. We can't be a nice organization anymore. You guys just touched on it. St. Louis said, thanks, Alex. Go to Vegas. Vegas said, thanks, Marc-Andre Fleury. See you later. You know, these were great guys. John Tavares, Morgan Riley, Mitch Marner, great guys. The disdain in the market for those three individuals currently, I don't know how they don't waive their no-movement clauses. Because in the case of Tavares and Marner, who live in the city full-time, if they don't waive, and it's leaked that they declined a trade to anywhere, and they leave as unrestricted free agents, how are they going to, their legacy, whatever they think it is, it's gone. It's gone. The GM didn't sign the Morgan Riley contract. The GM brought in John Klimberg to replace Morgan Riley, the worst power play points defenseman in the history of the National Hockey League playoffs. It's time for a change, a culture change. Core 5, see you later. It's Core 2. You built a new version of the 2.0 Toronto Maple Leafs with Austin Matthews and Mitch and then William Nylander. You build around them too. You got to change it up. Enough is enough. And I think everyone finally in this market wants and needs to see change. Boys, Frank, you have an amazing summer. I love you guys. We'll talk next year.
You're the best. That's buddy. Frank and Mark.
Enjoy your wedding, man.
Very interesting comment he made about the legacy of the core four, core five, whatever it is. Let's say the Leafs do find a way to move on from Tavares or move on from Mitch Marner. Ooh, man, like it's all about untapped potential, unfulfilled promises and potential. Just really, it'll be looked back on unbelievable regular season performances, but okay. just couldn't get it done.
So here's the thing, okay? If everybody wants a new coach, do you think a new coach is going to want to come into this situation in Toronto, stepping behind the bench with this roster, and his first order of business is to deal with two or maybe three star players leaving this roster? Like, any coach that comes in is probably going to want to guarantee that he's going to have certain players to work with.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of it is that you will be compensated handsomely as the next head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I get it. Yes, but there's any new coach that comes in also wants to be remembered as the guy that helped this team get over the hump.
And would you rather coach Toronto or Ottawa as far as their respective rosters?
And any coach coming in is probably going to want to say, well, if I come in, I want to make sure this guy's on the roster because I want my chance at trying to coach this guy.
I mean, maybe, but I don't think a coach has that type of jurisdiction. It depends on who it is. I mean, does Craig Berube call the shots if that's who the Leafs want to hire, or McClellan?
Well, anybody that looks at this Maple Leafs roster, and everybody's going to say that's a really talented roster.
Yes,
I would love to coach this group. Do you think if the Maple Leafs can find a way to pry John Cooper from the Tampa Bay Lightning, he's going to come in and say, yeah, I'll take the job, but I want the job with all the guys here because I want to see if I can help this team with this group of guys get to the next level, because I want to be the guy that's remembered of the guy doing the job, not coming in and saying, wait a minute, you're trading two of my best players?
My response to that would be John Cooper, Rod Brindamore, whoever it is, assuming there is a new guy, watches the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. And they know what Mitch Marner did in this series and what Mitch Marner has done for at least in the games 5, 6, and 7 of the playoff series that he's played in his career. I don't think those guys would be too horned up about the possibility of keeping Mitch Marner. I think if there's a trade that they can explore that makes sense, that gets them a good return and gives them more salary cap flexibility, I think anybody would be on board on that. But again, it depends on what that is, what that looks like. You're not trading Mitch Marner for a second round pick here. You need something really, really good in return, because he's a great player, but he's a flawed player. And the way that this roster is constructed, I don't think those flaws can be overlooked. All right, so we have a couple more callers. It's a real shame that we're up against the clock a little bit here. Robin Woodbridge, you're on Wake Up Woodbridge. Go ahead, buddy.
I wish I could say happy Monday, boys, but it's just a regular Monday. You know, I'm going to make my comments, but hey, it's been a blast this year, you know, speaking with you guys. I have a lot of fun. Going to miss you guys, you know, after the Leaf games, but hey, when next season starts, I'll definitely be back. You guys will have me. At the end of the day, I think what defines, you know, this team, the culture, is how that goal was scored on Saturday night. When you look at the replay and you see Pasternak just flying by Marner, you see Riley not in position, you see Samsonov, you know, not making a poke check, just, you know, a bunch of errors on one play, and that kind of defines this team, how they lose. They seem to lose in heartbreak fashion as a result of just not playing, you know, sound, smart hockey. For me, it does start with Shanahan. You have to change him, because I'll tell you right now, if they don't, you could talk about trading Tavares and Marner. They're not going to go anywhere. This guy is set in his vision that this core can somehow make it. He's bamboozled all of us, including Bell, Rogers, Tannenbaum. I hope Keith Pelley can see through this, because it needs to start with him. Make that change, and then all the dominoes will fall. Unfortunately, Keith is going to lose his job, because that's the easy change to make. And, you know, I don't know, whatever coach you get in here, if they can change the mentality of this team. But have a great summer, boys. I'll always bleed, you know, blue with the Leafs, but it's getting really, really, really frustrating. The only thing I have to look forward to is tomato season. That's it. Talk to you later, boys.
Nice. Thank God you. Bless.
We should add, we are still doing this show throughout the summer. The show will not go away. The Toronto Maple Leafs and Wake Up Woodbridge will, unless there's some big moves that are made and we think it might be worthy to have people call in and give their thoughts. You know, if Sheldon Keefe does lose his job, I think it's reasonable to ask.
Yeah, we'll react on the fly.
Yeah, we'll react on the fly. But thank you very much for the kind words, Rob. Another one of our favorites is Chris in Brooklyn here on Wake Up Woodbridge. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, 31 years ago, gentlemen, there was an outstanding movie made with Bill Murray. It's Groundhog Day! That is literally what it feels like to be a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. I was watching the game, guys, with my 10-year-old daughter and my 12-year-old son. And when that goal went in, my daughter said, "What the hell was that?" And she's absolutely right. Just like, what have we always talked about? Don't give up the ugly goal. Don't lose because of a massive defensive breakdown. And that's exactly what happens. I couldn't agree with you more, Carlo. The Leafs showed phenomenal grit, determination, great job coming back from 3-1. When I called in a week ago, I said it. This team are serial losers. And this stat says it all. And I'll finish with this, and I'll just say, guys, thanks for having me. Love that you give us a voice. Best sports radio station, bar none. This is my mic drop. The Maple Leafs are the second team in MLB, NBA, NFL, NHL history to make the playoffs in 8 straight seasons, but win a total of only 1 playoff round over that entire span, or none. The other was the Buffalo Sabres from 87, 88 to 94, 95. That's where we are. We're as bad or as worse than our Buffalo Sabre neighbors down the QEW.
Oof.
Peace out.
Not good. Thank you, Chris.
Peace out.
Sabres. Imagine they were as bad as the Bills. All right, moving on. Let's go to our final. I don't know why I said that. Sabres are much worse than the Buffalo Bills. Let's go to Mateo in Guelph, our final caller here on Wake Up Woodbridge.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Excellent, Mateo. How are you?
I'm okay. You know, guys, and when you wake up one in the morning, you're really sick in the morning, and like a cold or flu or something, and you go a couple of days without having a coffee, or in Carlo's case, an espresso or a cappuccino. You know that feeling?
Yeah.
I haven't had a coffee this morning. I didn't have a coffee yesterday morning. I'm sick. Wow. I'm sick. I'm tired of this organization. Run it back. You know what I mean? I called you guys last week, and I was like, oh, Bella Jornat, I'm having a nice espresso, and I feel happy. And now it's the complete opposite because of this crap. And the only take that I really have, all your callers have been great. All of you guys have been awesome, like analyzing it down to the T. But my take is like, you know, we're down 3-1, and then all of a sudden, who wakes up? Marner wakes up. Riley wakes up. Oh, Tavares wakes up, and they're like, oh, we give a crap because Matthews isn't playing. And then they come back just to do that to us. Like, if that was the case, Matthews shouldn't have played on Saturday night. You know what I mean? Mm. It's just like, I'm sick and tired. Even guys like Bertuzzi and Domi who give their heart, they gave their heart. Like, what did Domi do on Saturday night? What did Bertuzzi was, they, my problem with this whole organization is doesn't matter what players they bring in from year to year, they just decide when they want to play, and then they're just like, hey, well, I don't know. I don't want to play this period, so, like, whatever. So what is that? Is that the players? Is that the coach's message? Like, all your callers have been saying that, right? Like, who's going to step up? It's got to be a shakeup because you can't have guys like Marner making the money he makes, drifting in and out of series, and saying, like, oh, yeah, I'll show up now because I have to.
Thank you for the call, Mateo. I mean, being critical of Domi, who I think for the most part played at least 2 or above his capabilities in that 7-game series. Yeah, say what you will about Tyler Bertuzzi. I mean, if you're relying on those guys to get you through a game 7, you've lost before you've even started. I mean, it's about the best players. These guys are kind of the hanger-ons. And I'm not trying to be rude to Domi and Bertuzzi, but they're not supposed to carry you through a playoff game.
No,
7.
But they could come up with a big
goal.
They
could, sure. But I think for Max Domi and Tyler Bertuzzi, I'm not sure if both will be back, either will be back. My guess is Domi's back, Bertuzzi is gone. That would just be my guess. I think Domi should be a Leaf. And I think he probably helped his value in this playoff run, because think about that face-off prowess he showed in game number 5, I believe it was, where he was 12 for 14. It was game 4. 12 for 14 on the draw, stepping in for Matthews.
Yeah, but Domi proved his versatility. And
yes,
I think
exactly.
That's what it would ultimately lead to any mutual decision of him coming back, is that, you know, he can play anywhere you ask him to play.
Yeah, and would I be that keen on giving him $4 million a year on a longer-term deal? Like, not really. Like, that seems like a lot of money for a guy who scored 9 goals for you in the regular season. But I do see the value of having Max Domi. I feel like Bertuzzi will probably be making as much, if not more, than he made this year. And
well, hey, like, Bertuzzi was a big reason why the Leafs scored that goal. I mean, he created that turnover.
No, yes.
In the offensive
I agree.
Zone, right?
Bertuzzi's a good player, but did he do what he did last year for Boston in the first round, where he had, what, 10 or 11 points? No, he didn't. It's hard to replicate that type of performance. I know that, but
it's not just that. It's hard to replicate that performance when your team doesn't score. Like,
score 12 goals, Bertuzzi had 10
points.
You know,
and your power play is 1 for 21 in 7 games. Like, come on. Like,
I know.
Look, I would not be against bringing back both of those guys. I think they've both showed a role they can play on this team. But you know, you got to find a way to score goals. Simple as that.
You do.
Simple as
you
that.
Because at some point,
AK, like, everyone talks about the core four coming back. At some point, you got to stop replacing almost every piece around the roster every year.
It is different. I mean, Hyman, Bunting, O'Reilly.
You know, like, think about every year they're replacing 7 or 8 pieces to this roster. Like,
yeah, well, like,
there
they're
has
not
to
winning.
Be.
It's not that they're not winning.
I don't think winning has anything to do with it. I think it's more cap related why they can't bring these guys back.
That is fair. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll have my FanDuel best bets in about 25 minutes. Thanks to everybody who called in on Wake Up Woodbridge. Thanks to everyone who's checked out the podcast today. You can find it wherever podcasts are found. Hour 4 will continue after this. So last night, The Roast of Tom Brady on Netflix. I loved every second of it. It was so good. I had it on next to the Golden Knights and the Stars Game 7 that saw Dallas beat Vegas. The champs have been dethroned. Dallas will take on Colorado in round 2, which should be an incredible series between, arguably, as Dave Naylor calls me right now. He used to host this show.
Well,
this
he heard you
slot.
Talk about Nathan Rourke.
He's
that's
like,
why.
I'm like, Dave, you know, the show goes till 10. You used to do it yourself. Anyways, I wanted to play
Hold
a couple
on one
of
second, gentlemen. I got to get on this airplane.
Let's just call Naylor. Scotty Vickers, call Naylor.
Call Whatever him. Call. Let's cold call him right now.
Maybe,
call
I
him.
I don't know how much time we have.
No, let's call him right now. Call him right now. Right, say, hey, Dave, you wanted to talk to me. Did you know I'm live on the air?
Yes. All right. Maybe we can do that. Maybe we can call the nail gun. Anyways. Interesting. Some good CFL intel there for me. So I wanted to play this Julian Edelman joke. I thought he was incredible last night on the roast of Brady, but he was also doing some roasting of Bill Belichick as well. Here's how that sounded.
You remember when you used to yell at us? Look, the kids down at Foxborough High can make that fucking play.
I've been waiting for this for so long.
Look, old Foxborough High is the only job offer you fucking had.
Do your job. More like need a job, coach.
Oh, savage. Savage, as the kids like to say. Yeah, think about, like, your coaches that you've had over the years. Like, imagine there was a roast of Ken Hitchcock.
The Ken Hitchcock roast would be epic, just because of the list of players that would probably be involved in it. Like, Jeremy Roenick 100% would be like the top dog, I think, that would probably get the best out of him. You think of some of the guys that
like Brett Hull?
Oh, Brett Hull for sure. like his Dallas players too, like Billy Guerin and Brett Hull and Jason Arnott. Like those guys would I would actually pay to be involved in it. Alex Steen, David Backus, Alex Petrangelo in his time. Is it Keith Kachuk? No, oh. Keith Kachuk wasn't there.
Oh, that was he the wasn't year there after, for Hitchcock. After a couple of years. That was like Davis Payne was the coach.
Yes. Yes.
So look at me. Look at my St. Louis Blues knowledge. So there's a couple more things I wanted to play. Bill Belichick was also part of the roast, and he had a little joke at the expense of one Rob Gronkowski.
Gronk, I've been watching you on Fox NFL Sunday, and I'm begging you, please, stop doing your job.
I mean, like, Bill Belichick, he's got jokes, man. Like, I've been critical of this guy because of how much of a dinosaur he's been and his failure to evolve in the personality world when it comes to the world of sports that we live in. But last night, he put on an epic show of jokes. He really did. And it was fun to watch him break out of his shell a little bit.
It was awesome. I loved every second of it. And Nikki Glaser was clearly the best roaster. And some of the jokes she made were hilarious and extraordinarily inappropriate. But that's my type of humor. So kudos to everybody involved in the roast of Tom Brady. Some breaking news this morning with Nathan Rourke, who was the CFL's best player a couple of years ago, signs with Jacksonville, gets cut from the Jaguars, signs with New England, and as of this morning was waived by the Patriots. Now, there's some speculation that he could be bound for return to the CFL, and if so, I mean, Nathan Rourke's the best player in the CFL by a significant margin. What that guy did with the BC Lions... yeah, I think there will be every single team lining up to bring him back. And that'll be interesting if he does indeed come back to the CFL. Maybe there's another NFL job opportunity for him somewhere. And I'm sure they're exploring that. But
hard to believe there will, considering.
Yeah, I agree. If New England and Jacksonville cut bait, I mean, gave it a shot. He's 24 years old. I'm kind of surprised, but, you know, these NFL talent evaluators, they know what they're doing. And. Like, they think the Patriots drafted Drake May and that guy, I think Milton is his name. He's a hell of an athlete, but I don't know, Rourke, I guess.
Well, they got Jacoby Brissett there too,
right? Just Jacoby Brissett they signed, so that's too many quarterbacks. So
yeah.
Rourke's on the outside now. He's waived by the Patriots, and would I like to see him back in the CFL?
That would be a huge win for the CFL if they can find a way to have that.
It'd be a huge loss if he finds a way to Hamilton or Ottawa or something. The Argos would be in trouble.
Well, if they have Chad Kelly, and I guess a lot is still to be determined with Chad Kelly, with everything that's still lingering around him. So
not good.
No, but again, for the last couple weeks. And I want to reference a line that I heard from someone I know in the OHL, where, you know, watching some of the players that were draft eligible choose to go different routes, like the USHL and you know, go play in the BC League and stuff like that. Somebody said it to me that the reason why some of these players use that as leverage is because they didn't want to go to certain places in the OHL to play. And the person told me, they go, like, the league should find a way to keep these players in the league because it's the best interest for the league when you have these great players developing in the league. And it's almost the same thing that we just referenced with Nathan Rourke. I get, selfishly, you want him to be in certain places, but would you rather him be in a certain place or out of the league?
Out of the league.
Or in the league.
Out of the league as an Argos fan. So,
but for the league, it's healthy.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing for the league. Rourke elevates the quality of play in a dramatic way. I remember when we had him on the show a couple of months ago, I was like, hey, Nathan, if you ever do come back to the CFL, please go west. And maybe BC, although they gave Vernon Adams Jr. a big deal, maybe they would bring him back. Again, the salary cap stuff, I'm not really that familiar with, but every team will at least explore the possibility of bringing in Nathan Rourke because he's the best player in the league, for sure, immediately. And that's going to be a big storyline today, I'm sure, on TSN. So I'll keep you apprised of all information that comes out with that. Maybe I'll call Dave Naylor back in the break and see what he's got cooking for me. Maybe it's about Nathan Rourke. I don't know, but we're going to find out. My FanDuel best bets in 12 minutes. This is First Up. Man, does it suck to be a Toronto sports fan right now. Just sucks. The Raptors stink. The Blue Jays are an abomination.
Ugh.
And the Toronto Maple Leafs are eliminated from the playoffs once again.
AK, you know how bad it is for the Toronto Blue Jays right now? They have a worse record than the Oakland Athletics. that's how bad it is for the Toronto Blue Jays. And they have the guts and the balls to come out and tell fans that watch this team to be more patient.
7.5 games behind the division lead.
How did they have the stones to come out and ask the fans to be more patient with this group of players that they're the exact same problem as the Maple Leafs, where you're watching the same story play out in a different season.
At least the Maple Leafs win a playoff game or two. The Jays
The Leafs always lose the same way, and for the Blue Jays, every game is the same. Minus yesterday where they scored 8 runs, but they still lost.
Yeah, of course, their bullpen. Like, Swanson. He may as well have 20 fingers out there on the mound with the way Eric Swanson, no offense, 20 fingers, you're much better than Eric Swanson, is at pitching, because he's a 16.50 ERA right now to Swanson, just getting lit up every single time he takes the mound. He desperately needs one of those phantom IL stints, because you cannot pitch him in a leverage spot once again. Something they did yesterday. What do you think happened? He gave up another home run. And then poor Alek Manoah goes out there. And it's hard to feel bad for Alek Manoah, but you knew this was happening. You thought he was going to give you a great start? Of course not. The guy's getting lit in AAA. This is the major leagues on the road against a bad team, I should add. What do you think his next start's going to look like, which I believe is against a good team? And I'd have to look at the schedule. His next start would be against the Minnesota Twins, who have some power bats in that lineup. So I don't think it's going to get any better for Manoah, who's not prepared to pitch in the major leagues right now. I know it. Everybody knows it. But they're desperate because they have no depth in their organization on the mound. And if they suffer any injuries, they're going to have to resort to guys like Manoah. And that's a huge problem because he's not good anymore. So you got a major issue. If you throw Manoah out there, then you're going to have to score 10 runs. Because I think he's given up at least 6 every single time. Every single time. My FanDuel best bets. Sorry, go ahead.
Did you go to your FanDuel account yesterday and absolutely unload when you saw Manoah was pitching?
Yeah, it was the easiest bet of all time. Like, and you knew it. Like, everything under with regards to Manoah. Actually, I did lose the strikeout prop. Thank you for nothing, Manoah. But the outs, walks over, like, it was an easy one for Alek Manoah. Fading him, and I'll be doing it again when he pitches against the Minnesota Twins. He's just not a major league pitcher, and they have nobody else who can fill that spot in the rotation. Mm-hmm. Better pray and hope that Kikuchi and Gausman and Barrios and Bassett stay healthy, because if they don't, could get a lot worse a lot more quickly. My FanDuel best bets to wrap up a jam-packed Monday morning are next. All right, time now for today's best bets. Powered by FanDuel. Hopefully you followed the 88 parlay we gave out on Dump and Chase. Kudos to us. Another win for Game 7 of the Leafs and the Bruins. We'll have some more later this week. With regards to today in the world of sports, let's start with the NBA. A couple of games. I like Indiana +5.5 against the New York Knicks. I like Denver to bounce back in a major way in Game 2 against Minnesota. And the Florida Panthers -1.5 against the Boston Bruins in Game 1 tonight. Today's best bets are powered by FanDuel. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and find thousands of ways to play. Please play responsibly. 19+ and physically located in Ontario. 20 Fingers sending the updated standings of the first up playoff pool. And Aaron Korolnik is in first place. Al's brother in second place, Carlo in third, and Arad live from Thailand in fourth. And it looks like I have every single guy into round number two as well.
You've got Rangers, you've got Colorado, you've got Florida, yes. You've got Hyman.
Yes, what a squad.
Yeah.
So Al's brother does have Wyatt Johnston, who actually was awesome in round number one.
The series that he was in.
So
yeah.
You have Matthews, nice pick there. Kucherov's out. Hellebuck's out. Shifley's out.
Yeah, I went Jets.
Kyle Connor, Domi, yeah, you're done. You have no chance to win this. But it looks like myself and Al's brother could be going head-to-head. actually, had a great night with Al's brother over the weekend. We went on Friday night, had a couple of beverages. Great time. So Jesse Pollock joined us as well. It was great.
Jesse Pollock, I love Jesse Pollock.
I love him. He's the greatest.
That guy is an amazing content creator, but like
huge troll.
Dude, like the whole jersey thing that he created with, you know, the Boston and how he put it on and lost, and then he was wearing the Leafs one. And he's like, yeah, they're going to lose now because I'm wearing it. It's like, are you purposely trying to get everybody in Toronto to hate you?
Everybody in Toronto loves this guy. You wouldn't believe how many people came up to him, took pictures with him. It was very impressive. Yeah. Slightly more.
It's a love-hate relationship, I
yes,
think.
Yes, I love him. We love him. Thank you to everybody who was with us today for all 4 hours. Thank you to Cam and 20 Fingers. Big one tomorrow morning. Again, the Leafs speak at 11:30. Keefe and the players, maybe we get some kind of insight as to what we can expect in the regular season. We'll break it all down tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Coco, I will see you on the first tee. Until then.
Can't wait, buddy. Hit him straight. Ciao.